Scottsboro, Alabama is a sleepy town just south of the Tennessee state line, nestled in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. Now, the town is cultured like many in the South. God, family, and freedom rules. Glenn Summerford was a serpent-handling Pentecostal pastor at the Church of Jesus with following signs in Scottsboro. Snake handling, also called serpent handling, is a religious rite observed in a small number of isolated churches, mostly in the United States. Usually characterized as rural and part of the holiness movement. The practice began in the early 20th century and Appalachian plays only a small part in the church service. Participants are holiness, Pentecostals, charismatics, and other evangelicals. In Appalachia, in the American South, there are some Christians who take literally passages of the Bible that other adherents to the faith might not consider to be true, but more so a metaphor. These followers of Christ's teachings put to the test the biblical notion that true believers can take up venomous snakes without suffering injury. But for Summerford, snake handling became an instrument of murder. In the 1990s, Glenn Summerford got drunk, put a gun to his wife's head, and forced her to stick her hand into a crate of rattlesnakes. She was bitten twice before she managed to escape and call the police. Her ordeal and Summerford's subsequent conviction for attempted murder drew national attention. This is the unbelievable story of Glenn Summerford.
Recorded in Rocket City, USA. No bullshit. Just real talk. And now Deuce Conrad.
Origins of serpent handling lie in the old folk traditions of the Appalachian Mountains, a place where scripture and snakes were in generous supply. But the ritualized handling of snakes attained national prominence in 1910 when a traveling preacher named George Hensley began including it in his sermons. Now, for textual justification, he pointed to the verse Mark 16:18, where handling serpents was listed as one of the signs of those faithful to God. Clearly, Hensley argued that was a command to take up venomous snakes. Now, non-venomous snakes are not considered to be serpents, and for a time, his contemporaries agreed with him. Appalachia was still caught up in the great revival of wave of holiness and Pentecostal evangelizing that swept across the country and promoted emotionally charged forms of worship. Adherents were compelled by the power of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues, cast out demons, and even heal with their hands. You see, any man could preach if he felt the Spirit, and serpent handling was an escalation, a powerful ritual that drew crowds of believers and skeptics alike. The practice spread quickly, sister congregations popping up like mushrooms across the hills, and the snakes themselves were transformed, no longer dangerous vermin are vague symbols of evil, but conduits for the will of God. In a sermon at the height of his powers, Hensley compared serpent handling to other forms of biblical deliverance, such as Daniel in the lion's den and Jonah in the fish's belly. But that was before your time, he called to the crowd. I'll show you something of your time. I'll show you how to handle the rattlesnake, and you'll know the difference, and you'll know the result of a rattlesnake. But reporters knew the result of a rattlesnake, too, as the dangers of the practice caught up. Articles about fatal snake bites appeared in the New York Times and in the Chattanooga News Free Press, and also in any number of local papers. You see, by 1955, there had been at least 35 confirmed deaths as a result of snake handling. One of them was the 75-year-old Hensley, killed by a 5-foot rattlesnake on a bowling Sunday afternoon in Florida. By then, the holiness and Pentecostal assemblages had disavowed the practice, and every Appalachian state, with the sole exception of West Virginia, had banned it. Now, what had been an exciting new religious practice was cast to the margins of American religious history and left to die. Few serpent-handling churches hung on underground in the tangled hills and rural communities of Appalachia, and there they developed their own traditions, independent of the wider denominations and often independent of each other. And for a while, they were one of the South's open secrets, backwards, backwoods people shaking their snakes, rating somewhere between a curiosity and a joke. You see, snake handling churches, aside from the handling of venomous creatures, have much in common with modern day Pentecostal services. There are rarely programs or strict schedules, and it's common to have multiple sermons or messages in any given service. And the sections of the service where the snakes come out usually begin with live music, where crescendos with people bringing snakes out to exercise their faith, not to tempt God, but to call upon God to protect them as a sign of their allegiance to Him.
Do you have a beard? It's a legitimate question. You know, a beard says a lot about a man. A beard can define a man just by looking at him. Screw what they say. You can judge a book by its cover, and a beard is one hell of a cover. But let me ask you this, how do you take care of your beard? Are you putting chemicals into your face that will basically eat the hide off of a zombie? Stop that shit. Be a badass and start using badass beard care. Look, it's all natural. It's made by badass vets, and it will make your beard so incredibly soft, so incredibly manly. And you can get a free trial set today by going to deuceconrad.com and selecting Own Promotions. Are you looking for unbiased news in a world of biased media? Look no further. 1440 provides an impartial view of what's happening in the world so our readers can form their own conclusions. 1440 scours hundreds of sources each and every day to bring you a single morning briefing thoughtfully curated by experts, straight to your email with no haggling or unnecessary spam. Get even more benefits by signing up through the Deuce Conrad Show affiliate link. Visit www.deuceconradshow.com and select Promotions to sign up today.
Darlene and Glenn Summerford's relationship was one that lasted for a long time. Now, at first glance, the town of Scottsboro appears composed and photogenic with wide, clean streets and a healthy commercial district. But to even the casual observer, there is another Scottsboro. Its emblem could be a converted store and filling station with a crude fiberboard facade and a miniature steeple with a sign out front that reads "The Church of Jesus" with following signs. Now, this is the Scottsboro of the Reverend and Mrs. Glenn Summerford and their flock, many of whom have filtered down to the town from the surrounding mountains and have been trying to eke out a living and a sense of dignity ever since. See, Glenn conducted passionate sermons about God and the devil that involved speaking in tongues and handling snakes. But handling snakes is not a death sentence. Or is it? Because just handling a rattlesnake could be your last. Now, practitioners are well aware of this. There's a constant repetition in recorded interviews. Don't take up a serpent if you don't feel the spirit. Don't handle for show. There's death in that box, boy, and you open it at your own peril, said Jamie Coots, a Kentucky preacher who died from a snake bite. Now, at the time, they embraced the risk. Life and death rest entirely in God's hands, they believe, and whatever happens while handling a snake is His will, God's will. Sometimes He holds back the snake. Sometimes He calls them to heaven. It's not something they expect the rest of the world to understand. And during worship services at the church, Mr. Summerfield routinely Mr. Summerford routinely handles poisonous snakes, drinks strychnine, and touches the electrical wires. By 1991, Glenn Summerford and his wife had been married for 16 years and had a total of 10 children from their current and previous marriages. But over time, their association had taken a toll. Glenn's church members have even gone on record to say that the couple fought a lot in the late 80s and early 90s, with the tension amongst them reaching its peak, or you might say boiling point, during September of 1991. There are tales of Glenn's alcohol abuse that led to physical violence and Darlene's infidelities with other congregants and Glenn's children from his previous marriage alike. But everything truly changed on October 4th, 1991, when Darlene was bitten twice by a rattlesnake after Glenn forced her to stick her hand inside a cage full of them. He was drunk and angry, thinking that she was involved with another preacher behind his back. But thankfully, Darlene managed to escape and call the police and receive proper medical treatment. But even that was not an easy feat. The story goes like this. On October 4th, 1991, a 911 call summoned an ambulance to the Summerford residence, where paramedics found Darlene almost dying as she had been bitten in the hand by a snake. She was first taken to the local hospital, but they didn't have any antivenom, so she had to be taken to a Birmingham medical establishment that did. And when she managed to recuperate, she decided to put her husband behind bars for good. You see, Darlene recovered and would later testify against Glenn Summerford at trial. She said he took a pipe and hit the cages real hard so the snakes got real mad and then grabbed me by the hair and said he would push my face in there if I didn't stick my hand in there, she later told the jurors. He said I had to die because he wanted to marry another woman. And now, 60 years before, in the same courthouse, another trial took place that drew national attention. It was known as the Scottsboro Boys trial that put the northeast Alabama town on the map. And in that case, 9 black youths were convicted of the rape of 2 white women with very little evidence. And a verdict that would later be overturned by the United States Supreme Court. The news media attention paid to the preacher's trial infuriated some Scottsboro residents, including the prosecutor, District Attorney Dwight Duke of Jackson County. Down the hall, Mr. Duke told reporters, we've got a trial going on about an 18-month-old kid that got beat to death. Just another dead kid. But here, we've got snakes and a preacher. Now, members of the Church of Jesus with Following Signs find biblical precedents for the practice of snake handling in Mark 16:18, where it says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And although the trial would echo familiar themes from a troubled secular society, marital infidelity, spousal abuse, and alcoholism, also raise questions about faith and forgiveness, redemption, and of course, snakes. On the first day of testimony, the courthouse filled early with hard, angular women and men with slicked hair and unfortunate teeth. Darlene Summerford, 36 years old, testified that her husband forced her at gunpoint to thrust her hand on 2 occasions into cages filled with poisonous snakes. First snake that bit Miss Summerford was a diamond-backed rattlesnake. It made her thumb turn black. The next night, a second snake, a canebrake rattler, nearly killed her. She said her husband forced her at gunpoint to write 2 suicide notes, and then he fell asleep. And that's when she called her sister, who then notified the police and called an ambulance. She testified that her husband tried to kill her after accusing her of dating another preacher. Apart from telling the jurors what had transpired that day, Darlene refuted all the infidelity claims against her as well. She maintained that despite their troubles, it was Glenn Summerford who wanted to pursue another relationship and not her.
What if I told you that you could own slices of the companies, funds, and crypto assets that you believe in, starting with as little as $1? You see, fractional investing makes it easy to start small and add as you gain confidence. Now, Public offers thousands of stocks and ETFs that you can own no matter where you start from. Go to www.deuceconradshow.com and select the promotions link. From there, you can sign up directly with Public and get a free stock. Hey, Deuce Conrad here. I just want to tell you about Ibotta. Ibotta is one of the greatest things I have ever laid my eyes on. It's a great tool for actually earning money. And trust me, I've tried all these surveys and everything that the internet seems to say that you're going to make money, but nothing has made me money like Ibotta. In my first week of trying Ibotta, I earned approximately $40 just shopping. It's like coupon savings for people that don't like to clip coupons. Anyways, there is a link in the description of this podcast for you to become a partner with me in Ibotta. And when you submit your first receipt, you'll earn $10. That simple, that easy, just by going and shopping at places that you're already shopping, such as Walmart, Kroger, Publix. And it's easy to cash out as well. You can get gift cards to Amazon or have a direct payment made to you. Anyways, check the link down below. Use the referral code KAXRFWJ and earn $10 on your first receipt submitted.
Mr. Summerford told his congregation later that his wife had been bidden because she had backslid or sinned to the extent that she risked a fall from grace. But Miss Summerford insisted that it was her husband who had backslid, and he was drunk, she said, convinced she had been having affairs, which she vigorously denied. In court, nobody denied that Miss Summerford had been bitten by snakes, but the defense argued that both parties had backslid and taken to drink, and that the idea for Miss Summerford to stick her hand in the snake cages had been her own. Mr. Summerford's lawyer, Gary Lackey, introduced photographs of the couple handling snakes, and he tried to portray Miss Summerford as a woman with suicidal tendencies and a healthy fixation on the snakes. The surprise defense witness, Tammy Flippo, 23, testified that Miss Summerford had confessed to her on the telephone that she had actually been trying to get a snake out of the cage to kill her sleeping husband, and that when the snake bit her. But other testimony indicated that both parties wanted divorces, but because Miss Summerford feared losing custody of their 13-year-old son and Mr. Summerford wanted to keep preaching, divorce was out of the question. And the death of one or the other seemed the only way out. But by day's end, it was unclear who had tried to kill whom. The only sure thing was that backsliding was serious business in this part of the state. When the trial reconvened the next day, the prosecution called Sylvia Ingram to the stand, and she effectively destroyed Ms. Flippo's credibility, refuting key points of her testimony about events she supposedly witnessed. In his closing arguments, what the prosecutor wanted to leave the jury with was something minor. It was a matter of syntax, really. It was contained in the suicide note that Miss Summerford said her husband forced her to write. Mr. Duke read the short note aloud and pointed out a curiously repetitive pattern. Daddy was asleep. Daddy's asleep. Glenn is asleep. This is not a suicide note, this is an alibi note, Mr. Duke concluded. The man was trying to build an alibi. After closing arguments, the jury deliberated for more than 5 hours. In the interim, members of the Church of Jesus with Following Signs gathered in the hallways. They call us Oh, Jesus Onlys, Freaks, and Holy Rollers, said Bobby Sue Thompson, one of Mr. Summerford's most ardent supporters. But it's faith that makes you handle snakes, and the handling, she said, is one of the signs that you are walking into a state of grace. And in the same dark hallway in the courthouse, Miss Summerford waited it out. She was bitter about what she said was the lying of some former friends and the tone of the cross-examinations. It was like some kind of crazy, it's like I was some kind of crazy person. He was trying to prove I handled snakes and was off in the head. Now, she did acknowledge Mr. Lackey's assertion that she was the foremost lady snake handler in the Southeast, but she said that the snake handling in church was a spiritual experience. It makes you feel different, just knowing you got power over them snakes. And at 6:30, the verdict came in. The jury of 6 men and 6 women had found the Reverend Glenn Summerford guilty of attempted murder. The announcement was received in silence. Judge Loy Campbell of Jackson County Circuit Court ordered Mr. Summerford remanded to the custody of the sheriff. Is being held without bond in the Jackson County Jail, and because of prior conviction in the late 1960s for grand larceny and burglary, he faced the possibility of life in prison under Alabama's Habitual Offenders Act. But Mr. Duke had maintained during the proceedings that the trial was not about snake handling, but in ways that it was all, but in ways that is all it had been about, facing fear, taking risks, having faith. I knowed I was telling the truth, Miss Summerford said after the trial. I figured they'd say I was lying, but it didn't matter. I knowed I was telling the truth. Darlene Summerford, when asked how it felt to handle venomous serpents, replied, "It's just knowing you got power over them snakes, and if they get bitten by the snake, then they lack the true spirit. Moreover, if they're bitten, then the congregation prays over them. And if they die, then God intended for that to happen." Glenn Summerford was sentenced to 99 years in prison, plus an additional 30 years for second-degree escape after he unsuccessfully fled from a work detail in 2002. I think it's important to note that all Appalachian states except West Virginia outlawed the snake handling ritual when it first emerged. The states of Alabama, Kentucky, and Tennessee have passed laws against the use of venomous snakes or other reptiles that endanger the lives of others without a permit. The Kentucky law specifically mentions religious services. But in Kentucky, snake handling is a misdemeanor and punishable by a $50 or $100 fine. Snake handling is legal in the state of West Virginia, as the current state constitution does not allow any law to impede upon nor promote a religious practice. Snake handling was made a felony punishable by death under Georgia law in 1941 following the death of a 7-year-old from a rattlesnake bite. However, the punishment was so severe that juries would often refuse to convict, and the law was repealed in 1968. And the American Civil Liberties Union has defended the religious freedom of snake handlers against various attempts to have the practice banned. Glenn Summerford remains in an Alabama state prison to this day. Until next time, I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the Deuce Conrad Show on Spotify Podcast. In case you didn't know, you can also hear this podcast on Google Podcast and Apple Podcast and most podcast platforms across the web. For more information about tonight's show, you can also visit www.deuceconradshow.com. Visit show notes for more details.